now, your host, Barry Prince.
Well, good day, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, cats and gators and kids and grannies, to this Wednesday edition of The Big Puzzle. My name is Barry Prince. I'm coming to you live from my kitchen here in northern British Columbia. I am broadcasting through the facilities of Revolution Radio, and I am in Studio B. Thanks for joining us today, and welcome to the show. Revolution Radio, folks, we are a viewer-supported station, 100%. If you like what they're doing over here, the content and the work being done by these people behind the scenes, try and reach into your pocket, throw a couple dollars into kitty every month, even a couple bucks would be much appreciated. It all adds up. Always a pleasure to be joined by two really cool guys from New Zealand. I'm talking about Vinny Eastwood and Mr. Billy TK, who've been on my show, I don't know how many times in the past, but quite a few. Always look forward to having conversations with these guys. Very intelligent, pretty funny, and always got good stuff to bring to the table. Welcome to the show today, guys. And as I warned you, and I think I put it in your chat there, Vinny, that I always like to start my show with your pet peeve of the week. I know we've got about 300 that we could talk about, but what's number one on your list? And then I'll hand it over to Billy. Welcome to the show.
Well, I mean, pet peeves for the week. Well, I would probably say it's the newly awakened people who, ever since the outbreak of not being able to go anywhere and pointy things, have suddenly woken up to the fact that not as all as it seems. But they haven't done their 10,000 hours of research. They haven't locked themselves away and done 6 months worth of documentary watching on hundreds of different subjects in order to comprehend the overlay. And so now they've organized themselves and are going out there to try and fight the system. Even though people have fought in many similar ways before and been crushingly destroyed by the apparatus that is currently in place to derail and infiltrate such movements. And I think it's the lack of awareness of the truly awakened, right? That's what we're talking about here, is that those people who are attempting to make this world a better place, all of a sudden they've suddenly realized something is going on. There's people who've known what's going on for a long, long time, and they've consulted none of them to try and figure it out. And now they're basically fumbling in the dark, looking like fools, and making the rest of the entire truth movement who've been here for a long time look like idiots like them.
Kind of like running chickens running around with their heads cut off. Mm-hmm. Billy, I'll pass that over to you. What's on your mind, my friend? Welcome to the show.
Thank you. Yes, good morning. I love BC. I was very fortunate in 2017 and 2018 to spend a bit of time in Vancouver, going up to Kamloops and all across Canada, but quite a bit of time in BC. So good to connect with you this morning, Barry. Pet peeve of the week. I'll tell you what, I'll pick up a little bit on the theme that that Vinny has started with. I was trying to think of which one of my many peeves would I pick. Probably try and say that in a hurry. But I would have to say something similar, but coming from a political point of view. We've got a so-called political freedom movement underway in New Zealand that's trying to contest the general elections in 2023, in just a couple of months' time. Now, I did that in 2020. I led the largest and most unbelievably well-supported Freedom Party, Civil Liberties Party in New Zealand ever. I was voted the third preferred Prime Minister in the most prestigious political poll in New Zealand. And we had literally millions and millions and millions of people through my messaging. We had, lots of support, 60 candidates. We had a sitting Member of Parliament in our political party. And somehow we didn't manage to get past 30,000 votes, yet we had about 80,000 people in our database and our donor network. So somehow we managed to not get those people voting for us, which was a bit strange. And we only needed 120,000 people to get 10 MPs in, which we should have easily have done. But nevertheless, we're in 2023 now, and the thing that frustrates me this week, I guess, is seeing all these immature so-called political freedoms and civil liberties political activists not being mature enough to know that they need to all come together and work together, even if they don't like each other, to work together to aggregate and to bring together the disaffected and the concerned vote together. Now, I tried to do that in 2020, as many well know, so I worked very hard to try and unify all of the minor parties, and they were foolish then, and they haven't learned anything at all since then. And in fact, there's now more political parties than what we had even then. Freedom's meant to be freedom-centered, and yet they refuse to work together, Barry, and that's why it's going to go nowhere yet again. It's foolishness of the extreme, and they haven't learned anything, and unfortunately it doesn't seem like they will. And my view of it is, if they're not savvy enough to see the writing on the wall, what it's telling them to do, then they're not fit for Parliament anyway. So that's my pet peeve.
Yeah, that's sad, you know, Billy, because I see the same thing happening in Canada with our so-called freedom parties, especially over the Sound of Freedom. That movie has been seen by millions of people now. I went and saw it myself. But we have conservative groups in Canada fighting amongst themselves about the actual motives behind this movie. And instead of focusing on what's going on right now in Ottawa, we have groups fighting amongst themselves. If we can't get our poop together as groups and put our differences aside right now and focus on the enemy, then we really do have a problem. But you know, and I know, they're the masters of distraction, and they've got a few going on in Canada right now that seem to be working. Sad to see, but it's true. You're probably experiencing the same thing down there that we're experiencing here. We are in Canada, boy, I'll tell you, in the last couple of weeks here, guys, Canadians are really starting to shake their heads. It's a good thing, because a lot of people all of a sudden here are really starting to ask some serious questions about what's going on in our government. Whether anything will become of it in the next little while remains to be seen, but we do see a major shift amongst the general population in their thinking, especially now that we're seeing reports just about every day about damaging being done to people through the jibby jabs. I'll share one quick story with you guys, and then I'll let you talk. I had a yard sale at my house here on the weekend. I had an elder in from a village called Massett, which is on the Queen Charlotte Islands. 65, 70-year-old lady. She stood in front of me and probably three other people in the sale and told us that everybody on their reserve that took the jibby jabs is now suffering one form of a side effect or another. Not just one or two of the people. She told me every one of them is now suffering. I just heard the same thing, guys, from the new Ianch Reserve, from an elder up there, that everybody on that reserve that get jibby dabbed is suffering side effects. We are starting to see a major uprise in Canada against this whole agenda that's been played on us. Go ahead. I had to tell you about that, guys, because it was inspiring, but it's also informed. She's going to come on my show. This lady is going to join me in 2 weeks now. She's going to tell the public out there exactly what's going on. They need to hear it. Go ahead, guys.
Is she a First Nations elder?
Yeah, I'd say she's 65 years old, and she lives in Massett, which if people look on a map, it's right at the top of Queen Charlotte Islands. But she stood here in the yard, guys. I'm not kidding. There was tears running down her face. She told me that everybody on her reserve that went ahead and got these jabs and the boosters is now suffering some kind of side effect. Cancer is running wild on their reserve. Bell palsy, many, many of them are can't talk out of the side of their faces. Now it's all crumpled up. Blood clots is just incredible. And this is, I'm hearing more and more every day, society's starting to talk. They can't hide the data forever. You know, they've been bullshitting us about this for 2 years now, but the data now is really coming forward, and people are starting to ask some serious questions. We got four major lawsuits just launched against the government in Canada, one by the armed forces in Canada, another group of ex-RCMP. So people are starting to stand up. The elder told me that they are launching a massive lawsuit against the government. Whether it'll go anywhere or not, because the government's put all kinds of protections in as far as these jabs with the emergency declarations and their ability to bypass, you know, long-term studies and all the other stuff that we know about. Regardless, even if this doesn't go nowhere, the public is going to start hearing about it in mass, which is really starting to sway people's opinions. It really is. Go ahead. That was the most inspiring thing that happened to me all week. And go ahead, sorry.
Beware the Jabberwock, my son. The jaws that bite, the claws that catch.
Mm.
Yeah, well, I worked with the Assembly of First Nations in Canada. That's what I was doing in Canada in 2017 and 18. And and I got to go to like Treaty 6 territory. I got to meet members of just about every of the tribal nations across Canada, which there's, you know, almost 600 tribal nations across Canada. And what I was very concerned about, just like in New Zealand, was whether the leadership within the tribal networks would have the savvy and the wherewithal to understand that to be cautious about taking this jab into their communities. And what's happened in New Zealand, I speak from a New Zealand point of view, is that our Māori leadership, our Indigenous leadership, of which I'm a part of in New Zealand, they've been brought, they've been bought, they've been funded, they've been cajoled, they've been charmed into relationships with the Crown to accept the jab into the arms of their people. And we've now seen across New Zealand the uptake of the jab quite significantly amongst the Māori community, because our leaders have been telling us that it's a safe thing to do, it's the right thing to do, etc. But now, you know, over a year later since the injection started happening in New Zealand, and since the Māori community took them on, we've seen massive amounts of funerals on our traditional home places, which are called marae. We've seen massive amounts of elderly people get sick and die more than normal. You know, once upon a time, to give you some context, you might see maybe one or two funerals at one of our traditional meeting places, maybe once a month, twice a month if it was really busy. Now you're getting several a week at times. And so it's been incredible to see that. So it's sad to hear that, but good to know that they're mobilising. And I think in New Zealand, the lack of understanding about what's actually happening, why are we suddenly getting sick, why are we suddenly dropping dead, why are we having so many more funerals a month than what we ever had, you know, they're just not latching on to those question marks and connecting the dots to identify the variable. The variable is the introduction of the COVID-19 Comirnaty Pfizer injection in New Zealand, which is the main injection here, and that's the variable. You know, the sudden adult death syndrome. I mean, good grief, where was that 3 years ago? You know, and so it's very sad to see, and unfortunately, Indigenous people around the planet have been fooled, they've been funded and bribed, and it could be to massive detriment.
Vinny.
Yeah.
You're muted. You're muted, buddy.
Yeah. Sorry about that.
Turn your mic on.
Sorry about that. My bad.
I do it all the time.
Well, yeah, I mean, I thought about it like this, is that I've interviewed a number of tribal elders from various different countries that have had no contact with each other and stuff like that, and they all say that they've got some kind of tribal elite who have some kind of trust, and that they're in bed with the government, and that they're driving around in big, thirsty, expensive cars while their people are starving and freezing. All right? And they got different names for them. In Australia, they call the Aboriginals who do this coconuts, because they're brown on the outside and white on the inside. And in New Zealand, they're called the Kupapa. All right? C-O-U-P. it's opposite to the word kaupapa, which my rough translation for it is kind of the work, the great work sort of thing. Whatever it is we're all here to do, you know, big up your kaupapa, bro. But it's different from that. And when we look at New Zealand's its particular situation, we can simply project what's happening here as to what's happening over there, because we are in one global system. What this means is that it doesn't really matter what issue you're studying nowadays or in what country these research is coming out. It means that it's studying reality, and reality is kind of everywhere, isn't it? You guys got money launderers? We've got money launderers. You guys got satanic child traffickers? We've got satanic child traffickers. And the whole idea here is that we must, all right, underline the word must come together. Even if we hate each other, the rumor has that many of the founding fathers of the United States hated each other. You know, couldn't stand to be in the same room. But they did stand in the same room because they knew that freedom was on the line. And they knew that having freedom for everybody was infinitely more important than their own petty qualms.
Absolutely. When we look at the end result of us not becoming active and standing up against this, what we can see coming in the very near future, I wouldn't wish that on my worst enemies. So you're absolutely right, Vinny. I try and get that through to people, no matter what our differences are. There's always differences. I mean, our government has put so many divisions in society in the last 10 years. It really is hard for people to come together unified under one voice. But we are seeing that now in Canada for the first time ever, whether you believe it or not, Muslims and Christians are actually working together now against the government in Canada, standing against these absolute evil, barbaric, absolute, I don't have the words to describe what they're doing to our children in the school system.
The monarchy.
I really don't. It makes me so mad, Vinny, that I want to be able to climb through the microphone and grab these guys by the throat, strangle them, but I can't do that. But what they're doing to our children is so demonic. And now we see groups coming together, Christians and Muslims, standing in a unified voice, speaking very, very loud to the government. And as more of these people stand together, more people are jumping on board because they're starting to realize exactly what they're doing to our children in the school system. So that's, to me, has been one of the biggest positives I've seen in the last little while. I don't know if you're experiencing the same thing in New Zealand and Australia right now, but we're definitely seeing a shift in the public thinking as far as what the government's doing to our children. Go ahead.
What do you think, Billy? Yes. I think New Zealand's like not standing up against that very well at all, are we?
Well, I was aware of that happening earlier this week. It was announced in Canada that the Canadian Muslim League were working with conservative Christians to overcome the government's self-apportioned authority to allow schools and allow various health agencies to develop gender information opportunities for kids that have gender dysphoria. Now, what they've done is they've come together and said, look, you know, despite being vastly different, and they are, Christians and Muslims, we are very different. I've got Muslim friends and I've studied Islam, and it's very different. They claim that we're part of the Abrahamic family, but because they come from the line of Ishmael, but we are very, very, very different. But it's good to see that good people, decent people, are working together to combat something as egregious as, you know, allowing, you know, 6-7-year-old children to be able to confirm that they're transitioning, things like that. You know, the stupendous, evil, demonic ideology of the woke cancel culture left under Trudeau. But, you know, I think what Barry said earlier was quite true. You know, this is the division among society is the well-developed symptom of a plan that's been developed over decades and decades and decades through covert Marxism. Now, Khrushchev said way, way, way back in the, I think it was in the early 60s, he said that part of the communist strategy in Western capitalist democracies was to work within the system, was to create the homosexual community, army, if you like. So what we're living through today with that is to also distantiate the hearts of people from decency and from human rights and from civil liberties, so that it all becomes a complete Marxist mess where people don't know, you know, they lose sight of what is good and what is right in favor of what they're told is good and what is right from the state, which is the greater good ideology. And to do that, they need to create boxes that people are going to put themselves into, and also propagate the belief that because you're not in my box, you must be my enemy. And that's what they've done here in New Zealand. You know, if you look through the many previous governments leading up to the communist government that we have today, another World Economic Forum young global leader, just like Trudeau, you know, she turned the plan of decades into a super boosted program that she was able to super ramp up ideology and Marxism, and dividing our country into vaxxed and unvaxxed, Jacinda lovers, not Jacinda lovers, and they did it so easily. That's the disturbing thing, and people still haven't realised in New Zealand this is not a left and a right issue. This is a human rights issue, and what we're seeing in New Zealand is a very, very slow coming out of hibernation of people that are waking up that to the fact that something's not right. You know, the media is very corrupt. They're still trying to manipulate the themology of the media so that we believe it's a tight race between the left and the right, and that it's so important, and the left could still win, but the right is there. And, you know, it's that Hegelian mass formation approach that they're taking on the planet. And unfortunately, as it is right now, there's not enough people that are awake to the manipulation that's going on. But, you know, Trudeau is, you know, just like our government here. I mean, I think the Canadian government, the New Zealand government, and the Victorian government in Australia, they're probably the three worst governments that in the world at the moment.
Mm-hmm. Benny.
1 second here. This whole idea we're talking about is, I think when we see opposition to the state, what we're really talking about here is people who have taken it personally, okay? The state has hurt them somehow, and they're angry. They want to do something about it. And anger is a very powerful motivating force. There's a reason why the gods gave us anger, it is said, so we can protect what is ours. And this whole idea, when we are looking at it now, behind channeling that anger and getting people up to speed and what have you, I remember back in the day you had to try and go out and wake people up to 9/11 being an inside job and how difficult that was. And now you have to come to people who've awakened to the New World Order, but they haven't awakened to COINTELPRO. They haven't awakened to communist infiltration. They haven't awakened to propaganda and the mechanisms by which it operates. They haven't awakened to the trivium and quadrivium methodologies of identifying facts and being able to relay information before implanting your logic. They haven't figured out that the world's a holographic fractal projection consciousness of collective consciousness experiencing itself subjectively. You know, just they're dealing with surface level stuff. They think if they just get the right person in, then all these things are going to be made better. And you saw the American Truth Movement immediately abandon all reason when Trump decided to start running and started telling them things that they wanted to hear. And then when he got elected, he filled his cabinet full of Freemasons, members of the Council of Foreign Relations, Trilateral Commission, Council of National Policy, and Intelligence Services. Okay? These are who run the world. These are these kind of groups and clubs. And in New Zealand, instead of the Council on Foreign Relations, we have another thing that we call the Parliamentarians for Global Action. Okay? And every parliamentarian in the world who is on side of the New World Order as a member of this group. You actually have to be an elected member of parliament in a democracy in order to be a member of this group. And they fly them overseas, they take them to little conferences, and they tell them all how great globalism is and how good it's going to be without any borders or without any real men or real women. And they go, yeah, this is great, man. I got to stay in a great big hotel. I got to drink as much as I wanted to. Didn't realize I was being surreptitiously recorded by the people I didn't know were agents in front of me while they were supplying me with all of this alcohol so that they could get blackmail stuff on me and so that I'll do whatever they want for the entire time that I'm elected. You know, These things haven't occurred to the average truth movement person, let alone the people in Parliament. This is the overlay that we're working with here. It is an intelligent system. Okay, you have tiers and tiers and tiers of this apparatus going at work. One tier indoctrinates you, one tier surveils you, one tier threatens you, one tier takes you out. And none of them have any idea that any of the other tiers exist. They just simply get one little thing here and then boom, 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 boom. There's no connection being made in the synapses here, ladies and gentlemen. Okay, and it's distressing to see, because ultimately you don't need, you'll find this ironic coming from me, you don't actually really need to understand the overlay in order to really do something about it, because it works on basic principles. The principle, for example, of collectivism and the principle of dependency. If you are thinking independently and you are independent, you are already damaging that system because you're not buying your groceries from it. You're growing them yourself. You're not participating in their tax system because you've figured out how to work without having to pay it or something of that nature. Starving the system, making your own private under-the-radar networks by which you can survive, create, and trade without the need of dependency. And once dependency is no longer an issue, then we're going to see a massive, massive change happening, because there'll be all these tyrannical people with their truncheons and their guns running around just going, where's everybody? How come there's nobody for us to boss around?
How can I even add to that? We are, you know, we are run by a group of modern Caligulas in our society. Trudeau is just beyond anything I thought we'd see in Canada. The young parliamentarians, Klaus Schwab, of course, you guys know, and you've heard him talk on national TV and anywhere he makes appearances, raving about how he's infiltrated the governments of all the G7 nations and what they're working towards, the 2030 agenda, and how that's being implemented. You know, if people really knew what was going on behind the scenes, you'd see a lot more people getting involved. I honestly believe that, Vinny, but what you're talking about, people only scratch the surface, that they really don't understand the depth and the depravity of the people that we're facing in society. It's like you said, one little thing over here doesn't mean much, but if you add it to the other little thing going on over here, then a couple more little things going all over there, all of a sudden you've got a big thing, and it's all collectively working right now to end all freedom as we know it. And that's coming very soon, I believe, if we don't put a stop to it very quickly. But I do, honestly, in Canada, for the first time, I can honestly say that even in conversations I'm having with general public, they're all starting to become aware that something's really messed up in our country. They're looking for direction right now. I get that a lot. So maybe we can be there to offer them some help. Go ahead, Billy.
Yeah, these are all good points. I mean, I think I always come from the Christian perspective. I'm a pastor here in New Zealand, Barry, and you know, the key thing that astounds me, now I'm military intelligence trained, I'm a former member of the New Zealand Army, New Zealand Police, and I'm doing a documentary right now called The River of Lies, New Zealand Scandemic. Episode 1 is almost finished, and that's going to be coming out very shortly, so I want to talk to you about that, Barry. When we get that out, I want to come to Canada and be able to play that to the freedom fighting community across Canada, especially our Indigenous people who, you know, have been so victimized as well. But from the interesting angle of all of this, you know, when Klaus Schwab says it'll be 2030, you'll own nothing and be so much happier, and that things aren't going to go back to normal, it's not going to happen that way. Better get used to it. We're going to reset into a global stakeholder economy of the Fourth Reich. When someone says something like that, and you go into their history, and you connect the dots, all roads lead to Rome. I'm going to go there, because unless we can openly talk about this, we're never going to get to the central core of it. Now, I'm not a religious nut job, airy fairy person. I'm not. I'm very I believe that mainstream Christianity is a great enemy of Christ. I believe that mainstream Christianity preaches a different gospel than what Jesus and the apostles were teaching. And pure fact of that is that 99.9% of Christianity goes to church on the day of the sun god and not of the day that God actually commanded us. And Jesus is the Lord of the Sabbath. Mark 2:28 is the seventh-day Sabbath. Now, the war that we're involved in, the controversy that we've seen in this world between good and evil, we all feel, every one of us feel that this is a spiritual battle. But what I believe has happened is that there's still that scales, those scales across our eyes that fail to be removed so that we can penetrate through deception into the core issues. Now, the Bible says that the beast system of Revelation 13 is going to take total control of the planet, absolute total control of it. And unless you obey it, unless you're in it, unless you worship in it, you won't be able to buy or sell. Now, that's Revelation chapter 13, verses 15 to 17 will teach you that. These two beasts talked about, a beast by biblical language is a king or a kingdom. This particular first beast that we're talking about is a kingdom that is also a religious entity that changes God's law, commits great blasphemies against the Lord, and makes war against God's people. Now, that's only one character fits that, and that's the Vatican. And so when we go behind the World Economic Forum, when we go behind the UN, when we go behind climate change, when we go behind the banking system and peel the layers of onion aside, we always come back to that core that the Jesuits are behind everything. Now, one of the interesting things that Vinny mentioned before was how, you know, how the compartmentalization that goes on, even within intelligence service agencies, they don't know what the other person is doing or the other agency is doing because they can't compartmentalize. Now, that is how the Jesuits have operated since 1536. They've done it.
There's a bit of an echo on the line there, Barry. Could you mute your mic while Billy's speaking? Sorry.
Yeah, I can do that.
Sorry, bro.
Yeah, thanks, guys. So in 1534, 35, and 36, you had the genesis of the Jesuit order. They were ratified in 1540 into a proper order of the Catholic Church, and their sole mission is to control the world and bring back the authority and power of the beast system of Catholicism. Now, my family are Catholic, so I'm not even going to go at Catholic people. They're my family. They're beautiful people. God's people are in every church and religion, but they need to come out of it. The call now in Revelation 18 verse 4 is to come out of it. But the intelligence community thing is interesting because all of the world's major intelligence services report back to the Vatican Intelligence Service, every one of them. If you look at the CIA, if you look at in the US, the Joint Chiefs of Staff, all of it has been Catholic dominated. You know, even the way that the CIA was formed, which they say came out of the Office of Naval Intelligence, even the way that it morphed into what's been called what became the CIA, Mossad, all of them, they all connect back into the Vatican Intelligence Service and therefore the Jesuit Order, who maintain all of the covert operations, control of them for the Vatican. Now, when you dive into climate change, when you dive into the UN, when you dive into all of these control mechanisms, you will find the fingerprints of the Jesuits there. And how they work within the Jesuit order, this is where the point I want to make, how they work within the Jesuit order, you've got what they call the novices, you've got the, up the very top, you've got the Jesuit general, you've got the superiors in the middle. But what happens is that you may be one, you might be a novice, above you, you've got a superior, but you don't report to your immediate superior. You are able to report to the guy above him. So these checks and balances all the way up, and that superior doesn't know that you might be working for his superior, reporting on him and his actions. So that strategy of compartmentalization is well and truly tested. And so when you look at what we're dealing with the governments, when you deal with the politicians, you know, you've got Klaus Schwab has said that they've penetrated into every cabinet on the planet, just about, including Trudeau, Macron, Angela Merkel, Rishi Sunak in Great Britain. You've got Jacinda Ardern and Chris Hipkins now, the newly unelected Prime Minister of New Zealand. And all of them have been taken into this ideology of the World Economic Forum, And when you go into that, you'll find, of course, that it's speaking directly and supporting Agenda 2030 of the UN. And when you study that and you look at Catholic history, then you come face to face and run headfirst into Jesuit order strategies around communism and fascism, because those two strategies or ideologies were both given birth within the Catholic Church, starting with Thomas Aquinas in the 14th century and then perfected in the late 1800s in Rerum Novarum. So all these things that we're living with, Barry, today are just incredible, and we are seeing Bible prophecy rolled out, and that's why, as you say, it's not going to go back to normal. It never will. It can't go back to normal, because what we're heading to is a culmination point, and it's not slowing down. It's not. In fact, I'm amazed at the speed of the central bank digital currencies, because once that baby comes in, that's it. Then you're going to see the ensconcement of climate change with the international health regulations and the global pandemic preparedness treaty, and then they're going to bring in COVID-19 global lockdowns, climate change lockdowns, of which Trudeau's already written a law to facilitate that. So we're very, very close to a culmination point. That culmination point I'd like to put on the table today is the Lord coming back again. And I believe it. I'm not saying that as a nut job Christian. I'm saying that more as an investigator. The evidence is very clear. Mainstream Christianity is so far behind the ball on this. It's horrific. That's horrifying for me as a pastor. So those are my thoughts on that.
Vinny, you want to add something to that?
No. Now, it's a shift.
I will.
If I may, there's basically one law. It's called God's law, natural law. All right, and that law is pretty simple. You can't take that which does not belong to you. All right? That means you can't rape nobody, you can't hurt nobody, or trespass on their property, or take their stuff, or damage it, or something like that, because you're taking something that doesn't belong to you. And I believe that if, you know, the world was completely serious about wanting to be free, they would teach natural law and that basic principle to children from as early an age as they're possible to understand it. Imagine a whole bunch of people who would stand up if something was taken from them or from somebody else that they knew. And it reminds me kind of like, I was talking with somebody about what is a hero, all right? Now, somebody might say a hero is somebody who does his job despite the problems and things of that nature, or somebody who fights back against tyranny when it oppresses them. And just thinking, I'm not sure if that's the case. I think what a hero is somebody who doesn't stand to lose anything necessarily, but they see other people having things taken from them, and they know it's not right. And so what they do is they put themselves in a position where they are risking something now in order to protect what belongs to others. That's the self-sacrifice there that you would call truly heroic. And I think nowadays what we're dealing with is a subset of the population who have been growing up watching TV and movies where who is the hero in the TV and the movie? It's somebody working for the government. It's the FBI investigator, or it's the CIA operative, or it's the police officer, or the detective, or the member of the judiciary who's outside the wagon, or something of that nature. And I think that is largely a ploy by the system to get people to look at the system in a favorable light, to see it as an authority, to see it as the only place where you can really make a difference. When I think the reality on the street is you walk past heroes every day and they don't have a uniform on, okay? And they don't identify with some organization. And they don't sit and stand by when they see something wrong going on. And it's very, very few people like that. Very, very few. Even people who would just lean into a fight at a bar because somebody's being assaulted viciously for no reason. They would be a very great rarity, even in small towns here in New Zealand nowadays. And this spinelessness, this worship of authority, somebody else has to tell me what to do. There are many people out there who have worked very, very hard in their life, made hundreds of thousands of dollars and been in big companies and organizations and things of that nature, and they've got all these skills, but they were being told what to do the whole time. It's when nobody's telling you what to do that you have to be self-motivated. That is the true test of your character. What do you do when nobody's looking, when nobody tells you what to do?
Well, their agenda to demasculate the North American male has worked very effectively, and it's been implemented, 30 years ago when we started seeing that come into our society. And what do we have in Canada now, Vinny? We literally have a country, and, you know, I live here. I see it all the time where Canadian men just do not want to stand up. Even though, you know, information is in their face, that the facts are there, they know the danger is there, they still refuse, a lot of them, to get involved. That didn't happen overnight. You know, in the Second World War, we were some of the most feared fighters in the world. Now we have a bunch of snowflakes living in Canada. Of course, this has all been done by design over the years to bring us to where we are right now. The government had their plan in place. They knew the agenda. Now it's being rolled out. And what do we got pushing back against? A bunch of snowflakes. It's kind of sad, but it's true. Go ahead, Billy. I'm going to make one more comment, Billy. You know, you talked about the end times of the Bible, and I'm not a scholar, but I have read Revelations. I've read a lot of the Bible. I've read a lot of the doctrine in the Bible, and my understanding of this particular time in history, what Revelation tells me about this particular time, the events I should look for, absolutely, I see them all unrolling and folding out in front of us right now. So it is a very interesting and scary and exciting time to be alive. Go ahead, Billy.
Yeah, thank you, Barry. You know, quick couple of points. The big thing that people have got to learn about, Barry, and I suggest you join my weekly Bible study, which I get people from all over the planet coming to that, is to know what the mark of the beast is, because at the end of time, there are two groups of people on the planet, those that are sealed by God, those that receive the mark of the beast. There's nothing in the middle. And that's where it happens. And after that is initiated, then the seven plagues fall, and that's basically the end of it. The Lord appears. I want to pick up what Vinny mentioned before about natural law. Now, this is the strange paradox about talking about natural law. Natural law has been hijacked again by this doctor of theology, Thomas Aquinas, in the 14th century, in the late 1300s. Thomas Aquinas wrote about natural law. So within natural law, from a Catholic perspective, and when they talk about natural law, that's what they're talking from the Catholic perspective. Their natural law includes the very opposite to what Vinny was saying. So how you and I think that natural law should reflect God's law: thou shalt not steal, be a false witness, murder. You know, that's not what they're talking about. Yeah, natural law from the Catholic perspective is if somebody has a need and you've got what that person needs, natural law is that they have the right to take what you have to satisfy their need off you. It's based on the greater good theology that everything is permissible if somebody has need, or if the greater collective has a need which far outweighs the rights of the individual. Now that really comes from the perspective that private property is, this connects to the World Economic Forum, by the way, that private property is lawful only until that society has a greater need for your property. Then natural law means that the state has the right to reach in and take Barry's and Vinny's and Billy's stuff, because it needs it for the greater cause. And so under natural law, under Catholic law, that is permissible. Now, on the individual basis, if I'm walking down the street and someone sees that I've got $100 poking out of my pocket, and they come up to me and take my $100 off me, and I don't want them to have my $100, but they take it anyway because they have a need, that's permissible under natural law. So where you're getting to is that like a the World Economic Forums, you won't own anything, but you'd be so much happier. It's based on that. I mean, if you will read the World Economic Forum documents of what the smart cities will look like, basically, when I finish in my living room and in my little flat to go to work, I walk out and people who don't live there walk in and they use it for the day for their needs. And then when I come home at night, then I take over use of that property again for my needs. So this is what we've seen in the World Economic Forum ideology here is nothing less than the natural law principles of Catholicism. And that's why they say greater good, greater good, greater good. And that's why we're living now in that collectivism society in the West where they say, well, you know, you do it for the team of 5 million. That's what we had for the vaccination injection genocide campaign in New Zealand. They used, you know, mass formation, emotional blackmail by saying, do it for your family, your community, do it for the team of 5 million, which is, we don't have 5 million, we're just under 5 million. And so what they were saying was, let's use, you know, collectivism and the story of the greater good to rob you of your individual rights. Now, of course, that's what communism is based on. Of course, that's how socialist fascism works as well, where they give you the sense of freedom, they give you a sense of private ownership, but it's only the outward appearance of private property, but not the substance of it, because under their law, the state can reach in and take it off you. And strangely enough, and that's why we've got a feudal system being proposed here under the World Economic Forum, because the church-state religion for 1260 years in continental Europe had it that way, where the state controlled the very, very elite people and they controlled secular authority, and they would decide who had what. And so all the lords, of course, did that what they were told because they didn't want to get excommunicated. And so the church, through the lords and that, had this feudal system and kept everybody at the bottom on one even platform and only the very elite. And that's what they're talking about with the World Economic Forum, Barry. And that's what's coming back. And that's biblical as per Revelation chapter 13. An amazing, intriguing rollout.
Same blueprint, Vinny. I see your ad there on social media, The Last Hurrah. What is that all about? We only got about 6 minutes left here, gentlemen, so I'm going to get you to talk about that in a few more comments, and I'll give Billy a couple more comments, and I'll have to let you guys go.
Okay.
Go ahead, Vinny.
Well, first of all, there's a event this wonderful frickin' Saturday, and we are going to be at Shooter's Bar, 330 New North Road, from 6 till 10 p.m., and we've got a few musicians. We've got Matt Bowden, Starboy, and Luke Hurley coming, and I'll be doing some stand-up comedy, a bit of DJing, and I might bust out a song or two as well. And The Last Hurrah is just basically because we might be getting sent to jail. I mean, everybody tells me that we're not going to be sent to jail, and I'm just kind of like, I think we're living in a communist dictatorship now where they send people like us to jail, you know? That's my belief, but I've always been mm-hmm. somewhat cynical like that. And so when you're going to face potentially hard times, celebrate it, all right? Enjoy it, because with the shadow banning and things of that nature, and how few people I can get to listen to my streams after I used to have like 65,000 subscribers, if I get locked in a cell with 10 people, that'll actually increase my online audience, all right? Like, right, and so I'm looking forward to it. I'm pumped, and over here on the 31st of July at about 10 a.m. at the Auckland High Court, you can see the Facebook event if you search up Billy TK and Vinnie Eastwood appeal, we're going to be going to the appeal. Now, Billy's been sentenced to 4 months. I've been sentenced to 3, and hopefully we can get the sentence overturned as well as the conviction itself and be let free, because we got arrested for speaking freely and peacefully assembling. Those are two things that people would commonly associate with being, you know, a right. And so if they've taken those rights away from us, they've taken them away from everyone. And so if people aren't interested to turn out and actually stand up for their rights that they still might allegedly have, we're going to be seeing a really, really dark history in this country, because silence is taken as consent. So I really want people to be there at the High Court Waterloo Quadrant on the 31st of July for our appeal. And if you don't know about our arrest or what we went through, the Day Democracy Died banner on VinnieEastwood.com, big blue banner there, will show you the documentary. And I believe also Billy is working on a documentary here, River of Lies, the New Zealand Scamdemic, an investigative documentary. You can find that at River of Lies. .co.nz. He's almost finished the first episode of 3. And we also have a petition on change.org, justice for Billy TK and Vinnie Eastwood, and we have over 12,000 signatures at the moment, so I'm hoping to get that to 15,000. So yeah, I was up real late last night archiving. I've been on 3-4 shows, including this one this week, from the international community, trying to give us support for our case. So I'm very grateful, Barry. Yeah. Thank you so much for having us.
You've got me in your back pocket. You've got me in your back pocket, Vinny, and you're in my prayers, brother, and I hope this goes the way it should go. Billy, I got about a minute left. You can add a last thought, and then I'm going to have to... guys will oblige me again in the near future, and we can carry on this conversation. Go ahead, Billy.
Yeah, thank you, Barry, for having us. And I want to encourage all the listeners to stand strong, to seek the Lord while he can be found. Now is a good time to really learn how things go. My email, billy@ibc.net.nz. That's Billy, B-I-L-L-Y, at IBC, India Bravo Charlie, .net, November Echo Tango, .nz is my personal email. If you'd like to join me for Bible studies and or make contact, please do. But as Vinny said, we go to appeal trial on the 31st, and it's going to be something the world needs to watch, because if they jail us, then New Zealand is in big trouble. The rest of the world is in big trouble. I looked at evidence last night. There's been multiple people that have committed the same inverted commas crimes as us, that some of them didn't even get convicted. Some of them got discharged without conviction. Some of them had nothing happen to them at all. And so this is political persecution, because we are voices in New Zealand. So please keep us in your prayers, Barry, like we'll keep you in ours. Thanks, everybody, for having us today. Greatly appreciated.
It's been a real pleasure, gentlemen. And we do have the exact same thing going on in Canada right now with Arthur Pawlowski, a minister that all of his crime was preaching, having a sermon to a group of truckers, asking them to stand up for their rights, and was charged with mischief. It's looking at 10 years in jail. His sentencing comes up in August. I'm telling you, folks, if they put this pastor in jail, then our country is done, because if they got him, they're coming after you next. Where is it going to stop? We are in a lot of trouble, and the only way we're going to stop it, folks, is to join together and put our differences aside and follow Vinny and follow Billy. Support these gentlemen. They're doing an incredible job down in New Zealand. Like I said, it's all absolute pleasure having you guys on. I wish we had another hour, because we could kill it real quick with some of the things I didn't even get to talk to you about today. But maybe soon in the near future, we'll have you both back. If you'll oblige me. Thanks, Vinny.
All right. Cheers, brother. Thank you so much for your time.
You're welcome. And Billy, same thing. Bye for now.
Thank you, sir.